tell you what, that sure was some good singing and some good playing, wasn't it? I would love to have one of those gifts to be able to do that, so, but we all got a part to play, and you guys do very well at it. And really kind of the privilege. It's been a while since we've been here, and I've been smiling ever since I've been in the building. I think probably since I pulled in the parking lot on the corner. Just pulling up, just smiling ear to ear. It's really good to be here, you know, in the house of the Lord, and you know, it's with friends, you know. We've fought a lot of battles together, you know. We've fought a lot of devils, and we'll fight a lot more, you know. And I would that the devil, he knows the sound of our footsteps as we're coming, because he knows he's got an equipment coming, you know, when he hears our step. But it's not us, it's the Lord, you know. It's the Lord inside of us. We want to speak to you on a simple thought tonight: lift up the standard. And I want to go in Isaiah chapter 62 and start in verse 6. Lift up the standard, and don't want to try to make a really deep thought or anything like that. Just what the Lord put on my heart, and pray the Lord will help us to see what He wants to say to us and through the Scriptures. And you know, the Word is what makes the difference. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yea, they make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You say amen. Don't stop preaching until we get all praise. Every person. I would that every person will be praising God, and we don't stop preaching until we get to that. The Lord had sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the son of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you tonight. We ask you to help us to see the thought that you would like us to see tonight, Lord. And Lord, I know in myself, Lord, I'm just a mortal man, Lord, that of failures, of weaknesses, Lord, that has to depend heavily on you, Lord. You are our strength, Father, and we're looking unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We want, as I was saying a while ago, God has made it where watchmen will actually stand upon the city, and the watchman's job is to watch as the enemy would try to come in. And it's the watchman is watching over your soul. The watchman is watching for things, but there must be a communication and a reception between the watchman and the people of the city. And so he could sound the alarm, but you have to listen to it whenever he's doing that. So it's just as important for him to sound the trumpet as for you to listen to it. And a good example of that would be at Pearl Harbor. They had days and days and days of coming before that happened. There was warning after warning after warning of saying the Japanese are coming. There's going to be bombs coming to the city. They heard the warning. They heard the calls. But because they did not take heed to it, it got something that got common to them. Like, oh, we've seen this before. This is nothing. And they let it pass. And they went to the dances. They went to the balls. They did the great things that they did that night. And then the whole time, in the midst of that, there was a warning that was given to them, watch out because this thing is coming. Watch out, judgment's coming. Watch out, your enemy's coming. So it's just as important for the watchman to give the sound, the alarm. It's just as important for the people to listen to it. Brother Brenham talked about, and the Scriptures talk about, how they in these sacrifices, when they began doing the sacrifices before the Lord, it was a very fervent, it was a very sincere thing whenever they would take the sacrifice before the altar, because they acknowledged that whenever I go with this sacrifice, I am depending on God to receive my sacrifice. Because I can take this sacrifice and you can go through the motions, and that's one thing, but for God to accept it and God to recognize it is the most important thing. You know, in token time, it was one thing to apply the blood, it was another thing for God to recognize the blood. You know, it's one thing for us to say that we've got the word, we've got the life. It's another thing for God to do that. And the way God does that, God puts a seal of approval on it. Right.
So if the watchman of the city, he has a job, and God has given watchmen. He's got the prophets that would come, and God would give the message to the prophet that would give the word. And down the ages, he's got pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists, and they're all preaching, and they're echoing the same message, the same word, if it's right, according to the prophet. And it's a perfect harmony from the prophet to the pastor to the preacher to the teacher, all the way down to the evangelist. And it's God. What is it? God has got a watchman because he's trying to bring praise into the city. And you know what? We should have praise in our city. Each individual person in here, you have a city in your life, in your home, in your workplace. And we have the ability, God has given us the calling that we can have praise in our midst. Can you say amen?
Right.
There's power in praise. Whenever you praise the Lord, it breaks chains. Paul and Silas were in prison one day, and it looked absolutely hopeless. And they could sit there and feel sorry for themselves and feel sorry for the trial that they're going to. They could have done that, and without a doubt, they probably did for a while. I found myself doing that many times in my life. Right. And then finally, there will be a song that will come up in your heart. A song will come to your lips, and it will go fluid with something that the watchman has preached to you. It's a song of revelation. And whenever you begin to have that song, you can have it in your heart, you can have it in your mouth, but you've got to speak that word. You've got to sing that song. Because when you do it, that's what breaks the chains. Right. You know, you can have a thought in your heart. You can have a song in your heart. But if it's just in your heart, it's not going to do any good. It's got to come to a point where you demonstrate that. You sing that song. And when you get that song out your lips, it's breaking chains. Right. And you know, that's the way it is with God. God had thoughts. God had attributes. God had all these things on the inside of him. But just being inside of him was not enough. That didn't break no chains. What caused it to break chains? God had circumstances that would arise. And when circumstances arise, how did God break the chains? He took something that was already on the inside of him and spoke it out. And when he spoke that word, it broke chains. It broke darkness. And light come forth. Brother and sister, we will go through times of darkness. We don't know what we're going to do. Why am I going through this? Why am I going through these things? Whenever we have those things, God has, his program has not changed. He's given us a word, and we got the word inside of us, but we got to speak that word on the outside and sing that song of praise, of revelation. You say amen? We have the ability to create that atmosphere where we can chase the devil away from you. Because that devil, I don't know about you, but the devil likes to come down and pound nonstop. I was at work the other day, and just a lot of things kind of bearing on my mind and of the things I'm kind of talking about tonight, and kind of in that angle. And I was thinking, my goodness, like a devil on every direction pointing at you. And I looked over in front of me, over on the light pole in front of my work. I was sitting on the bench, and I saw one bird sitting on the light pole, and there was these blackbirds that come over and just kept flogging at him. And that poor little thing kept trying to get away from him. And I kept sitting there, and I was like, you know what? I bet that's a dove. I kept sitting there on my bench, and I looked over there, and that it was. I got closer, and it was a dove that was sitting on top of a pole, and these blackbirds kept coming nonstop, flogging at him, flogging at him, flogging at him, flogging at him. And you know what? That dove has natures. That dove has characteristics about him, and you would never know those characteristics until a circumstance took place that it would declare the characteristic that is in that dove. Because that dove, whenever that come try to attack him, that dove never tried to bite back. That dove never did try to cruddy chop him or do some kind of silly thing. That dove just been a dove. And the blackbirds would come one after another, one after another, one after another. And what was it for? It was to declare the character and the nature of that dove. And you will go through times, I will go through times, where things will happen. You're like, God, why in the world is this happening to me? I'm walking through this thing, and I'm trying to walk circumspectly according to your word, and trial after trial after trial after trial. What is it? It's to declare the character that God has put inside of us. And then in the midst of that, brother and sister, we have the ability. God has given us the word to where in the midst of our trial, we have the word. And that's where we have talked years and years. We got the word. We'll overcome by the word. It comes a time where you will have to overcome by the word.
Amen.
Now, we talk about a lot of things. Then it comes a time you got to walk the walk.
Right.
You know, when you go into the military and you're going to the young academies, they'll say, oh, when I get there, I'll do this. When I get there, I'll do that. Let's talk and talk and talk. But then when it comes down to the battlefield, that's when the real walk comes. Yeah. And brother and sister, I don't know about you, but I feel like we're in the walk. Mm-hmm. You say amen?
Amen.
But in the midst of this, we have a standard. We have got a standard that we have got to hold that standard up. No matter what we're going through, we must remember what in the world we're fighting for. You know, that's whenever a person is on the battlefield and they're fighting and they're fighting for their country, it's real easy to look at your circumstance of what you're going through. I'm going through this. I'm going through this. I saw my friend die. I saw this guy. I saw this guy fall. And you can lose the purpose of the battle. But we have a purpose of a battle. Whenever you're going onto a battlefield, you're going there for what? You're going there for freedom. You're fighting for freedom for your brother over there because they're under the bondage of an enemy that's holding them down and beating them down and got them in prison camps. That's the reason you're there. That's the reason you're fighting. And listen to me, brother and sister. We are on a battlefield. And we've got brothers and sisters that are they are part of Jerusalem, but they're bound. And it's our job to demonstrate, to hold that standard, to say you can be free. On a daily walk, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your son, your uncle, the person at the dollar store, whenever we're walking on a daily basis, whenever we are holding the standard, you're showing somebody else, you can be free. You can be happy. You can have joy. You can have all these wonderful things. You know, I think about the Queen of Sheba. For her to have heard the tale of what was going on in that city of Solomon, you know how that traveled? Word of mouth. And you know why they traveled? Word of mouth? Because they saw something.
That's right.
They saw the acts of these people. They saw the way they were conducting themselves. They saw and they heard the wisdom of Solomon. They heard, this man is doing acts that man can't do.
Yeah.
Man in himself can't have this kind of wisdom. Man in himself can't do these things. And people saw these actions and they began to tell the story. And began to talk. And have you ever listen to someone tell the story and they start talking one to another and how much that story will change? Sure. And Queen of Sheba heard the same thing. I heard it was this way. I heard it was that way. Well, I heard it was this way. I heard the fish was this big. I heard the fish was this big and it was part alligator. You know, the story will change over and over and over again. And little by little by little by little by little, the story got to Sheba, and she said, I've got to go see if this man's really the stuff. I want to go to this man, and I want to see if he's really, is there really anything to this thing? So I want you to catch a couple points. There's got to be something to catch people's attention. In the days of Brother Branham, there was a discernment line taking place. There was doing those things. I got Brother Branham's not here right now, brother and sister. It's us. It's us.
Right.
So there's got to still be a standard that's lifting up that will catch the people's attention.
Right.
And it's not going to be someone standing up here discerning hearts, going through a prayer line, something like that. It is going to be a life lived that is demonstrating the grace of God, of showing how even in the midst of the darkest trial, you'll be a dove.
Amen.
You will be an absolute perfect dove. You know, I love that how that whenever John heard, he heard the roar of a lion, when he turned expecting to see a lion, what did he see? A lamb. Wounded, like he's been in battle. You know, in this hour, a lot of people say, well, I want to see somebody demonstration of faith that will be restoring limbs, that will be doing these things. That'll get the attention. Hey, I believe there'll be a part. People will be doing some of this stuff. But I believe that it will be the simplicity of the bride of Jesus Christ that will be truly one with this word.
Amen.
Where even when their beard is ripped out, even when the blackbirds are flogging them from every different direction, they won't fight back.
Amen.
They won't try to challenge the enemy with their kung fu. I talked to the kids here a while back. I said, you know, I watched one of the interviews of Bruce Lee one time, years ago. Anybody know who Bruce Lee is? If you don't, we'll talk after service. Bruce Lee's only like the greatest martial artist of every kid this tall that with my age knew. He was like their, you know. Bruce Lee had this interview with a person, and he said, I want to ask you, Bruce Lee, he said, are you kung fu, are you taekwondo, are you this, are you this, are you this? He said, no. He said, it's like water. He said, when you take water and you pour it into an ice tray, it's ice tray. You take the same water and you pour it into a cup, it's a cup. You take the same water and you pour it into a kettle, it's a kettle. But you've got to be fluid. And brother and sister, that's exactly the way God is. God is just like that. God, whenever he was in the Old Testament, he was in the lambs of the sacrifices of the burnt offerings and all these different things. Whenever he come through Joseph, he was God in Joseph. Water was poured into Joseph. He just took a different form.
And down through the ages, it comes through Jesus Christ. He poured it inside Jesus Christ, same God all the time. He took the form of Jesus Christ. And then it poured through how it was getting so dark and scary where people say, what in the world is truth? Everyone says, it's this. What's truth? Can you ever be saved? And God saw the midst of that. He saw all these truths. He said, you know what? I'm going to pour the kettle again. Pour the kettle through a prophet. Where God gave a prophet, and it was saying God all the time. It was God demonstrating. And what did God do? Caught the attention. Spoke. He caught the attention of the people. People looked at, hey, what is this? This is something greater than man, greater than Solomon.
Right.
And they saw that, and he caught people's attention. And when they saw that, it caught people's attention. God was changing forms all the time. And God, the same God today, brother and sister, he's not in Brother Branham anymore. He's in us. It's through this word. God has given this spoken word. It is Jesus Christ, absolutely, in the spoken word. It's been that way for 40 years.
Right.
And guess what? God's ready to change it from no longer spoken word. It's Brother Matthew, come here. Open up, buddy. We're going to pour this inside you. And now it's no longer just that. It's Brother Matthew. It's the word made flesh.
Right.
It was one thing to look at Jesus Christ as saying Jesus Christ was God manifest. To now it is us.
Yeah.
We are that word manifest. We are the Word. And the way you can really know that is whenever something happens that declares it. You can say that you've got something, but it's when something declares it. Something has to happen. I can tell Shirley. I said, Shirley, I want you to sneeze for me. Go ahead. Can't do it, can you? She can try. She can try to make all it puffs. And that's the way it is. A lot of people say, do a move of God for me. Go ahead. Do it. Do a move.
Right.
You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't make yourself sneeze. But let me tell you something. Let me get some pepper. I go over and wave it under her nose, and she can try not to sneeze all she wants to. Guess what? It's coming.
Right.
You're going to sneeze.
Yeah.
Because God has got the stimulant. God's got something that will activate that faith at the appropriate time. And whenever you say, I ain't got nothing. I'm dead. There's nothing to me. God says, you're exactly where I want you. He'll have some man with a bag of pepper. Bag of pepper comes by, and he'll come at the appropriate time. All the different times you've tried to do a work of God. You've tried to do these things. You've tried to do that. You'll never do it. But you let God do it. God will come through at the appropriate time. God will put the pepper right where it needs, and the sneeze will come automatically.
Man.
And it's nothing that you tried to do. You can try to hold back a sneeze all you want to. You ever tried? You feel like your eyeball can pop out of your head. And that's why it is when God is really dealing with a person's heart, and God is really pulling, and God's getting something out of you that you never even knew was there. God will cause a circumstance to take place. God has caused something to come through to where something on the inside of you is happening that you've never saw happen before. Mm-hmm. Now, we've had a lot of... Brother Tony gave me some taters to plant. And brother, I've got a confession, and I've got to really get off my chest. They're still in the bag. Not because I want them to be. I've been working. But the purpose of these taters is you want that tater... You want to be able to cut that tater, put it in the right operations that you needed to do, and put that thing in the ground. And the purpose is that you want to bring back that original tater again.
That's right.
You want it to be the original thing. And brother and sister, God has given us a word at this hour that we are finally, after all these ages of seeing what the word was, and Brother Brenham, we're seeing it go all through all these ages, and we're seeing it finally come back where we're starting to see buds come open where it's the same thing that Brother Brenham had in his day. And we're not talking about of prayer lines and things like that. I'm wrong. You can go through a prayer line. But I'm talking about it's Jesus Christ personified in his people.
Right.
Where it is a character. It is a small group of people. It is a small group of people. A small group of people that's going to believe this word. That's going to have the genuine characteristics of it. Because I'm telling you what, just like the denominations, they covered it up with these big churches, beautiful women. When I was going through these tests with the doctors, there was a bless her heart. This poor nurse had these eyelashes. I bet they were that long. And that was just one of them. She had those things on top of her eye, and I was trying to pay attention to what she was saying. And I was literally, I'm pretty sure it was touching down to blow her nose on her eyelash. I was trying to pay attention the best I could. But see, she had something that was artificial. It was something that wasn't real. It was something that was, she had an image in herself, what she thought was attractive. And bless the man's heart that finds it attractive. But you know what, for me, I saw that, and I see it's artificial. And the world, they got an artificial beauty, artificial this, they got artificial hips, artificial lips, artificial all kinds of stuff. Artificial. That's all fake. And in the church world, it's the same way. They've got a lot of things that look good, but it's artificial.
Yeah.
It's fake. You know, I like to fly fish. I'm not no good at it, but I like to do it. And my wife gave me a book where we were Orvis book. And I was looking at this Orvis book, and it showed the cycle of the caddisfly. And this caddisfly started out as this little big wiggly worm, and you get the whole pack of the whole life cycle. You get the little wiggly worm, you get this part, and each stage he becomes a little bigger than the worm. He's the same one, the same guy all the time, but he's changing forms. And you know, there's one time he's a little bitty wiggly worm, but he's got to go from wiggly worm to this little worm to this caddisfly. On up, it's different stages of his flight. He can't stay the same. He's
right.
Got to be. He's got to grow. He's got to mature to finally be that fly on the end, to be who he's called to be. Well, what I'm telling you is, and doing this caddisfly, they've got fishermen and people that love to tie flies, mm-hmm. like myself, and they can put a poor example of what that fly really is. They can put a fly that looks, they got some people that can tie a fly that looks just like that original, but it's fake all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. They have, she's got a message.
Mm-hmm.
I got one too. That fly has a, sir, don't run, sister. That fly has got a cycle. And what I'm showing here is that original fly. You can have an original fly. And that fly, in every stage of his cycle, no matter if he's the baby, if he's mid-set, no matter what cycle of that fly stage, he's got one thing in common, every one of them. He's got a trout trying to eat him. No matter what stage of his life, he's got an enemy that's trying to eat him. And in the midst of that, of this original fly, he's original, he don't look like the finished product, but you can have somebody else that has an artificial fly that looks 10 times better than that little wiggly worm. He's got the pretty feathers, he's got the pretty this, pretty that, and if you looked at that, and you saw the wiggly worm, and you saw the fly that's all put together, a person will look at that and say, why can't you be like this one right here? Why can't you have the character of this fly over here? But the whole time, it's fake. There's nothing to it. But this little worm over here, though he ain't maybe showing all the manifestations of that fly over there, he's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you, when God comes for this bride, he's not looking for something artificial. He's looking for the real thing.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say is, stay humble. Humble yourself before the Lord. And don't ever say, you know what, I'm going to try to be this fly over here. I'm going to try to be this. Don't try to be that. You be humble and walk with you and watch out for that trout. That devil is going to come every step of the way. And we have to recognize and always acknowledge that we have an enemy.
Yeah.
But God has made provisions for you. God has made provisions to protect you. How does God do it? God has a watchman. God has a ministry that will preach to you. And when he's preaching to you, a lot of times you may say, what in the world did he preach? But you'll go home and you feel fed inside your heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes like, what in the world did that guy just say? But no, but you know you ate something.
That's right.
I made my wife cook some stuff. I had no idea what it was. But I know I ate. When I ate it, it felt good. When I ate it, it's like, my goodness, that was good. What in the world was that? And that's what it is, brother. So what I'm talking about is the watchman, when he's preaching this word, when he's got the original, not his own word. Because, you know, that's the problem of today. That's why you have so many splits up today of the churches today. It's because they try to put their own interpretation to it. And that's what causes mess ups. They try to come up with a new revelation. I've got the new revelation. You ain't got no new revelation. The revelation's already here. The
right.
book's already open. So all we got to do is apply what's already been given to us.
Yeah.
If we'll take this word, and tell you what, you take a family and do a budget, a struggle with money, and you do a budget, and I'm talking about a strong budget. What I mean by a strong budget, I mean talking where you'll be honest with you, where you'll balance the books of your life, and you start saying, okay, how much am I really being good with what I've got? I need more money because we're struggling. But if you really will take the budget of the book, and then you start playing and say, and be honest with yourself and balance your book with your budget, you'll find out, you know what, I got a lot of things I could do different.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to me, a lot of times, if I had more word, if I had more this, if I had more this, I could do more great. But if you will balance the books of your life, of what am I, how am I reverencing this word?
Mm-hmm.
How am I reverencing, how am I walking with, how balance your life with the message?
Mm-hmm.
Take the message and say, is it real? Best thing you do, don't ever balance your budget with your mind. Because if you'll say, let me think about it. Have I spent very much money this week? No, you know, I think I've done pretty good. Because I promise you, you will reason yourself. You will justify every reason why you spent that money on something else. And if you try to reason yourself, balance your walk with the message with your mind, you will reason it out every single time.
Right.
Well, you know, I did okay compared, because you will start to compare yourself to somebody else. And then to commend themselves to one another, that's kind of a foolish thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, you will have to have the message itself, the word itself, and start budgeting yourself with the word, with what that watchman is preaching, what he's given us. Make sure he's preaching it. And when he says that, say, amen, preacher.
Right.
Give it to me again. Amen, brother. And then even if he's correcting you, even if he's whipping your hind end, amen, preacher. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll go home and be like, you know, he really, like, you know what? Let the pain go away. And then think, was he right? Yeah, he was. And then mind yourself back up. And that's where it goes, humbling yourself before the message. Because listen to me, there's a lot of churches out there that look better, they look stronger, they got it. Brother and sister, I'm afraid, I'm not saying all of them, but majority of it is an artificial fly. It's artificial. And I would rather be a little wiggly worm that's real, that's growing, and being the real thing, than to be something over there. I'm going to show you something about a false victory. And if my friend, I'm not going to say his name, is watching this video, or listening to it, I'm just going to say, I'm sorry. They had a trout derby here recently. And they had these trout that they'll put in a little incubator, and they'll feed them all this food and vitamins and probably steroids too to make these things, these big old giant trout. And then they got a little string here that is for catch and release. And they'll put this fat trout inside that water, and it's like shooting fish in a barrel. They'll sit there and catch that. He caught this giant trout, holding it up, and said, look at this big trout that I caught. Look at this big guy. I couldn't get much satisfaction out of that. Because you know what? It was, number one, it's not a real trout. He was something put in an incubator. They pumped him up with all kinds of stuff to make it look like something that it really wasn't. And then they put it in there. But you take somebody that goes out in the stream, brother and sister. I'm talking about when you go to Colorado, and you're out in the middle of the streams, and you're going down the creeks, and you get a wild trout. You get a trout that man had nothing to do with it. This was God. God put this trout there. God did the orchestrating. God did this. God put this trout right here. And then you catch that trout, it could be that long, and you rejoice. I was shouting. I was happy because I caught this thing. Not only did I catch him, I caught him on a fly. Forgive me. It was a fake fly. I got him on a fake fly, and I was rejoicing with that thing. And I got home. This is back when me and my wife went on the trip together. And I came back, and she said, "How big?" I said, "Let me see it." I said, "Well," I hope that little trout. And she laughed so hard. She's like, "The way you were screaming, I thought you had a monster." I said, "But hey, this is a wild trout." It ain't much, but it's original.
Amen.
You say amen?
Yeah.
I would rather have that little bitty thing, that little bitty catch in my life, that little bitty work in my life, but be original than to have something that's big that's not real.
Amen.
I want the real thing.
Amen.
Because guess what? That thing will get bigger.
Amen.
It may take a long time, but it'll get bigger. And our walk with the Lord, brother and sister, the works in your life, what God's doing, when you will simply apply the word to your life, applying it and humbly. Brother Brown talked about the sacrifice. At the beginning, they were sincere. Beginning, they would go through that and they recognized, they acknowledged, this has got to be right. Imagine Goshen, how sincere they were. At first, maybe it wasn't quite so serious, but then we begin to hear the screams out in the streets. They began to get real serious. Began, hey, this is real. The death angel is literally going down the street and he's killing all the firstborn. This is a real thing. We have to make sure we got this right. Father, are you sure the token is applied? Are you sure? You know, before they weren't, it wasn't such a big deal. It was okay because you could, like I said, balance it with your mind. It's probably okay. But listen to me. Whenever death is coming at your door and you're hearing the screams outside, it's because then you're really going to get serious and then you're going to really take the word and say, do I really have it? Is the token really here? Is the token really applied? Father, are you sure? And that father can only do one thing. He can only communicate back through the message he got from his watchman. Moses, prophet Moses, gave him a message. Watchman Moses gave him a message and said, judgment's coming. There's one refuge for you. It's under the blood. You get under the blood, hold the blood, you have the staff in your hand, shoes on your feet, eat the bitter herbs. When you do these things, you will be saved, and that death angel will pass over you. And whenever we see the death angel coming around where people are falling left and right, people of great message preachers falling left and right, looking left and right, left and right, you know what it was? Artificial. They looked like they were the real thing. They were great. I'm not meaning this to tear them down. Understand that. I'm trying to warn you because I don't want anybody else to ever go that direction.
Right.
They look like, if you were looking at them as little worms, so to speak, of the fly, we would look at that and say, why can't I be like that? Why can't I be like this one, this great fly? Look at it. But then we find out he was fake all the time. Humbly stay right where you are and say, God, help me to reverence every service. Every time I hear your word, every time I hear the prophet preach, don't let it get common to me. Because Brother Graham talked about how at the beginning it started out sincerity, but after a while it became a tradition. And going to church can become a tradition. Where you're going to church, you're going through the motions, you've done your duty, but your heart, you know in your heart, I didn't give it my all. And sometimes it's genuine reasons. You're tired. Your head hurt. Your foot hurt. Your back hurt. Your elbow hurt. It's not because you're trying to do wrong, but that devil, little by little, by little, by little, by little, will take that fire, that passion away. He'll do the same thing to a husband and a wife. They're absolutely passionately in love with one another, where it is a love divine, where they cannot wait to get home to see one another. They cannot wait to call and text and do all these different things. They cannot wait. What is it? It's a love on the inside of them. It is a love that compels that husband and wife to do the things they do. And what is it that causes them people, whenever they would reverence that doing the token the correct way in the beginning? It's because they had a love and a respect to God. It was such a respect because you are a holy God. Imagine the respect that Joshua had when he said, Joshua, take off your shoes, you're on holy. I'm sorry, Moses, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. At that moment, whenever for Moses, he acknowledged that it was a respect to God because he acknowledged this is a holy God. Right. But the devil, but not meaning to, but being flesh, will take that away little by little by little by little by little. I just want to plead with myself and everybody. Let's humble ourselves and say, oh God, help us. Because I'm telling you, communion is the most important thing that you have in this life. Brother Brown said there's three things, that three commandments he left with us. Communion, foot washing, and baptism. Water baptism. And those are three things that the devil will try to take the reverence away from it. The reverence away from it. The sincerity away from it. Listen to me, communion is the most important thing that we have in this life. No, I'm not talking about whenever we actually go to the front and we're doing the bread and the wine. But I'm talking about on the daily walk of communing with God, where God is communing with you, God is talking to you, and you're talking back to God. It is a reciprocation. It is a love. And when you have that love for God, it compels you to walk a different way than you normally walk.
Right.
I'm telling you what, there was a time when Elijah would walk a certain way, but there was a time whenever Rachel put the hook in. And all of a sudden, that old heart turned. And I don't have to beg him to call Rachel. I don't have to talk him into it. I don't have to say, won't you sign this card for me? If you sign this card, then you can, you know. You don't have to beg him to do it. There's a love, there's a hook inside him. It's a love inside him where he's going to do it because he is operated by love. And brother and sister, that's what it is with us and God. Where you're walking through this life one day, you're just being yourself, being a worldly person. Whether you're in a church or out in the world, you're still worldly until you got to God. And then all of a sudden, God put that hook in. And you got that. And when he did that, you've got that love. And it causes you and compels you to walk a different walk. The devil will attack that love. He'll try to take it away. I can't make you love somebody. Brother Tony can't make you love somebody. Brother Tony can't make you love God. I can't make you love God. But what we can do, we can tell you all about him. And not using our interpretation of it, we'll use the same interpretation that Abraham gave Eliezer. He said, whenever you see her, this is what I want you to say. You tell her this, this, this. This is the way I want you to describe Isaac. Whenever Esther was going to go before the king, she didn't go on her own accord. She went according to what that chamberlain told him what to say. That chamberlain said, this is what he likes.
That's right.
When you dress like this, don't use that fragrance. Use this. When you're using the garments, don't use that garment. Use this one. Because this will catch his attention. And listen to me. God gave us a message in this hour that will catch the Lord's attention. And you're not doing any other walk on work.
That's right.
They got new perfumes that smell, that's supposed to absolutely just knock them dead. It won't work. It's artificial. And they actually got that. They got stuff out there that's like $1,000 colognes and perfumes, and I wouldn't pay $5 for it myself. I've got some old stuff that I used to like to smell. It's cheap. It's a brute. What's so funny? Thank you, God. My wife says, oh my gosh. It's cheap, but it's original. And she said, yeah, real original. I was getting my hair cut today, and she said, I hate it when you get your hair cut like that. She said, you look like an old man. It's original. I want to read one more scripture, and then we'll get ready. I don't want to keep up late on a Wednesday night. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. When we hear the word of the prophet, we must receive it in the name of a prophet, of acknowledging this is the word of a prophet. This is the word, because this word, when it's that way, it's the same thing as God speaking to me. When God is speaking through him, when man is totally surrendered to the Lord, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's been with a pillar of fire, and that man's under the anointing of God, and he's preaching to you. It's the same thing as God speaking to you. And so whenever we were reverence and saying, God, I need that. I receive that word. And you take that word, and then you fight your battle with that word. You will overcome that devil because you're doing it God's way. Because whenever you do that, God is working. It is the deity of God going inside that man. And then when he speaks that word, he preaches that, and you receive that, and you believe it, then you receive that deity yourself. And then you're fighting that devil with God. But you can't do that with this. I can tell you, you're healed. Don't worry about it. You ever had somebody say that to you when you just absolutely don't feel good? You're healed. And yourself, you never say it. And yourself, like, well, I sure don't feel like it. And yourself, and your mind will do that. You can say that, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. But until it's revealed to you, then once it's revealed to you, you're healed.
Yeah.
But until then, it's just words.
Right.
And that's what it is with this message. We want this message to be whenever I receive the message. I don't want to receive it here. God, give it here. Mm-hmm. When the watchman gives me that word, make that a revelation to me. When my wife, when I knew I loved my wife, let me tell you something, it was a revelation. There was no talking me out of it. Before that, yeah, you can probably take me out of it. First time we were going to get married, I said the first time because I backed out the first time. I got scared. I went four-wheeling instead. I was supposed to show up, and I was telling off on myself. The first time that we were going to get married, I got scared to death. I did the best thing I knew to do. I went four-wheeling with buddies at nighttime. I got my paycheck the night before. We went four-wheeling. I wrecked my four-wheeler, and I lost my paycheck, and I paid dearly. You will reap what you sow. Because I was going the wrong way. I didn't love her. It wasn't a full love. It was not a full commitment because I really didn't absolutely love her. But I'm here to tell you something. Come a time when it was a revelation. I love this woman. And once that happened, there was no going back to that other stuff. And listen to me. Whenever you're walking with the Lord, you'll have time. Whenever you have not come to that full love for the Lord, you'll fall away. You'll do these things. But I'm here to tell you something. When you absolutely fall in love with God, you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody can ever take that away from you.
Amen.
It is a revelation to you.
Amen.
Let's all stand. I love the Lord. You say amen?
Amen.
I love the Lord.
Amen.
And I love my wife. I did repent. She did forgive me. So you brothers, you sisters can look at your husband. You know what? My husband's not so bad after all. You know, he's a pretty good guy. He never did that. Well, Brother Daniel did. My name is Brother Daniel. I depend on the grace of God very heavily. Okay. And when Sister Lisa says that, she says, I bet you do. Absolutely. I depend on the grace of God. Because you know what? We as people, we do some stupid stuff sometimes. There are some times we'll do things and you'll look back at that and hindsight is 20/20. You ever heard that? You'll look back at that and say, no, I should have got this sign. 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 Hindsight 20/20. But when you're in the midst of it and you're just walking, you're not looking backwards. All you're doing is looking forward with everything that's being confronted with you. But whenever you do that, there's grace to pick you up.
Amen.
Love will cover a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Let's just all bow our heads, if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know this was not an extravagant service, Lord, maybe not a shouting service, Lord, but I pray that your message come forward, Lord. Lord, through the weakness of my flesh, Lord. Lord, I'm asking that you touch each one, Lord, that we can reverence the man of the hour that you put in our midst, Lord, the angel that you put behind the pulpit, Lord. Every time Brother Tony stands behind this desk, Lord, may they see that's not Brother Tony. That's God. When Brother Tony is totally surrendered to you, and Lord, whatever it is, your anointing upon him, and your spirit is upon him, Lord, and you've put a love in him for this people, Lord. Lord, they can look at you and they can receive that word that he speaks, Lord. And because it's an anointed word given by you, it's the same thing as receiving you, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, you touch each heart here tonight. Lord God, as I mentioned, we do dumb stuff sometimes in ourselves, Lord. We do things, we see things, just looking backwards, and we can see all the mistakes many times that we make. And we can see clearly behind us and say, if I'd have done this, if I'd only done that. And Lord, in this life, there's many times that we can do things and you can't erase it. You can't make the changes. There's many a man sitting in prison cells right now that have thought back over and over a million times, if only I would have just took the teaching of what my mom said. If I'd have listened to what my dad said, if I'd have listened to what the teacher said, if I'd have listened to all these men, these people that are above me, of my leadership that was above me, if I'd have listened to them, I wouldn't be in this prison cell that I'm in right now. And even though they repent fervently in their heart, even though they beg for mercy, they're bound. They can't go free until their sentence is over. And for some men, it will never be over. They go straight to the death penalty. And Lord, that's the way we were, Lord God. We were in a prison cell. Lord, and we look and we see all the mistakes that we made, Lord. We see all the opportunities that you gave us of mercy, Lord. So many times that you've given us an easy way out. But Lord, we as flesh in our orneriness sometimes, we try to do it ourselves in our own way. And we get ourselves in a prison cell, Lord. And we're headed to a death penalty. And there's no one that can get us out, Lord, but you. Lord, you come down in flesh. Lord, you become a kinsman redeemer, Lord. Lord God, you didn't have to do it. You did it because you loved us, Lord. Lord, you laid down your life for us. Lord, you took the beating for us, Lord. You allowed them to make fun of you. Lord, they had you down. They put a robe across your eyes, Lord, and beat you with a stick and prophesy. Tell us who hit you. They didn't even realize while they were doing that, they were declaring who you are. Oh God, you did it, Lord. You took the beatings for us. You hung on the cross for us, Lord. Oh God, and you died for us, Lord, to set us free, God. And Lord, we as your people, Lord, we go through that same thing now. The devil pointing at us and hitting us with sticks from all different directions, oh God. But he don't even realize in the midst of our trials when he beats us with a stick, he's declaring who we are. Whenever we receive your grace, Lord, when we receive your word, Lord, it's declaring that we are your children, Father. Help us to hold that standard, Lord. Help us to hold the standard of redemption, of grace, Lord.
and showing that, Lord God, I was in a prison cell. I was going to die. I was headed to the death penalty. But, Lord, you reached down one night. Lord, you sent your grace, Lord. And it picked me up, Lord, and it broke those chains, Lord. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, that sincerity that each person under my voice, Lord, may that reverence come back to our hearts, Lord. Lord God, on a daily basis that we acknowledge you, Lord, and who you are. May we receive you as our Savior, Lord, and hold you there in that standard, Lord God. As it says, receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, Lord. Help us to hold the ministry in that way, Lord. We love you, Lord. Have your mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy. Search our hearts tonight, Lord. Walk the aisles, Lord. Knock on every heart, Lord. Help us to rededicate ourselves, to recommit ourselves into your presence, Lord. Lord God, because judgment's coming on the earth, Lord. But you have given us grace, and we receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask Brother Tony to come forward, brother. Anybody like to need prayer, we're certainly welcome to welcome you to pray.
Hearing truth, as scripture said, you know the truth and truth will make you free.
Right.
You know, sometimes I think people, you know, think too highly of their ministers and things like that and forget that we're just people too.
That's right.
But we learn from our mistakes. God has us on a channel where we learn from our mistakes so we can come and tell you about it. That's what he does. And so, nothing like that. You know, to lift up the standard here. The whole purpose of doing that is to give people something they can rally to. And in a world of all the confusions and things that we have still today, but in the religious world, all the confusions that was there, the people needed something they could look to, that everybody could know together to the same thing, so that they could speak the same thing, walk in the same anointing. And so God lifted up that standard. And that's what Brother Daniel and I try to do right here.
Amen.
We lift up the same standard.
That's right.
To show you what God has done. That every one of you know that you can run to that standard. And not somewhere else and all be divided, but you can all come and you can gather around that one standard. And so because it gives you something you can run to. And it gives you something that is truth, a message that you know it is real. And so we lift up truth to you. We want you to run to truth because there's nothing like truth. and to lose for you what nothing else can do. But when you see that standard lifted up, you got to run to it.
Yes.
And you do it by revelation.
Yeah.
You walk by revelation, because this is not a natural flesh message. This
right.
is not, it's not the rapture that takes place. It's not a flesh thing. It is a spiritual baptism, a spiritual revelation. And you, so you line up with this word by faith. Nobody else wants to do it, fine. But you do it, and you don't do it because of do's and don'ts. You don't do it because somebody puts pressure on you. But you do it because of a revelation and the love of God that's in your heart. That's why you do it. And when that's the thing, then it'll be the real genuine thing. But the devil will be after it.
That's right.
Just like Brother Daniel was saying, the devil will be after it. But he mentioned there, you know, trials. It shows the character that's there. It brings the character out. That's what it does. And it shows you that you're a son and daughter of God. And only, like I said, I tell the guys, I mentioned the other day, they're all the time, every time we check calibration on it, it's always correct. And I said, you'll never know unless you check it.
That's right.
See, it has to be buffeted. It has to be one strike after another. We don't like to say that in the flesh, but it's true. And God's in every bit of it.
Yes.
Amen. So, when we become the Word made flesh. Amen. That's what it is. But when we become the Word made flesh, like Brother Daniel said, it's not going to be some great this and great miracles. The days of a great man standing behind the pulpit to catch everybody's attention, that's not what God's.
No.
The great one that we want to rally to, it's not personalities. That's what we have problems with. People
right.
get so excited and they rally around personalities. Good ministry, but personalities. And how many people have we seen fall when personalities fell?
Amen.
Even in this message.
That's right.
So God's trying to wean us off of all these flesh things and get us to that word, the character of that word, to bring a humility and an obedience like Jesus Christ had. Because in order for us to be that wife, went through Calvary, he walked up and he went through all the things and opened not his mouth, didn't strike back. We have our guests at the house. That's what Brother Daniel's talking about tonight. There's nothing like the original. Amen. Nothing like the original. Amen. You know, Brother Perryman, in 1991, he got this building. Some of you might may not know him very well. He was a very sweet, prayerful man. And he got this building in 1991. And all those years up until just a few, you know, 7 or 8 years ago when he passed from us, he was a praying man. He spent untold hours in this building right here praying for a move of God. And of course, him coming up through Pentecost, you know, all he knew was what he knew. But he had a hunger for something inside that he wanted. Pentecost wasn't even answering that, even though he enjoyed the Pentecostal message. But he wanted something else. And I believe that you and I are partakers of the very thing that he was looking for to come and didn't really understand completely what it was. And if the Lord allows him to look past the curtain of time and hear what we're saying, I believe he's rejoicing.
Amen.
Because he's seeing Christ forming the people that no matter what happens, no matter what trials they go through, he's there expressing himself. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. I mean, enjoy that.
Amen.
You know, when you go through trials, you come out and you have something to say. And so we appreciate that tonight. Just to shake Brother Daniel's hand and let him know how much you appreciate it. I know you will. But so let's just sing this song we have.